Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to Strength to Be Human. This is the next guest house edition. I have my co-host with me and my partner in this particular segment, John Patrick Robbins. Thank you very much for being with me, John.
Oh, great to be here. Always an honor.
We want to talk about this time. I know it's time for us to finally be selfish. Oh, well, but we spend so much time talking about the topics and talking about and in interviews with other artists. And of course, I spend some time about some of the topics and some of the larger shows that that's focused on one thing like therapy or depression or, you know, confidence and all that. But this is a show where we thought it'd be a good idea to talk about editing. And I thought it would be better to talk about being an editor when we can actually talk about our own publications. So, yeah, if it's a little bit of self-promotion for you and you don't like that, I mean, what do you tell you? It makes no sense talking about it in the broad sense, but we both have journals. And in this case, John has three of them. I only have one. So it makes more sense to talk about what we do, what we face, what we have to deal with. And I think it'll be a good educational lesson, some way to broaden people's perspectives. And if you want to be really super positive about it, okay, maybe it's a good way for you to learn about how to submit to us. Maybe it's a good way for you to learn a few things that you might want to, you know, try out. Why not? I mean, I'm open for it. I know that John always looks at new material, so that's a great chance for you as well. So don't take it as we're just blabbing about our publications all day long. But, you know, it's that time to talk about that. We're going to be talking about plenty of other subjects in the future, but today it's ready for ours. I have Aerial Chart, which is 3 years old as of now. It's an online journal. It's the only one I have. And John, talk about your titles, because sometimes I can't even remember all of them. They're so long.
I've had a few, and some that didn't succeed. First of all, the Rye Whiskey Review. I also am the editor of Under the Bleachers, better known as the UTB. And Drinkers Only, once I am trying to kind of build up. So, yeah, got three. But Aerial Chart is tremendous because I've been fortunate enough to be published there. So,
definitely love that. We've had a lot of people that have been on board on that too. Mm-hmm. And I am excited in the sense that it became bigger than I thought it was going to be. Because believe it or not, when you're a writer, you're thinking about big things and you want big things and you're working hard toward those. But when you're an editor, it's different because you're always saying to yourself, God, I don't want to get out of control. I don't want to go so big that it takes all my time up or it becomes just so some pit in a hole somewhere that I have to keep throwing stuff in it. And it became bigger than I thought. It's still manageable, thank God. But you never know what's going to happen on that. I mean, I started off with like 50 people, and now we're going into 130,000 of people reading, people joining, people submitting. I mean, it's those are the numbers, because each time you read something and you check it out, it registers on a special dashboard I have built into the site. So I know where people submit from around the world. I know how much time they're reading. I know what they're reading. I know what they're doing and all of that. So you get to see so much of that on that kind of platform that I had built on. So I know what's popular and what's not, and what's taking people's attentions or not, and where they're coming from. So it's exciting in that sense to give people opportunities they might not have elsewhere. And also it's exciting too, to maybe give something back to the community when someone brings you something that's just not quite there, but it could be there, and you give them some good advice, which a lot of magazines don't do. And maybe you can help somebody become that much better. And how about you, John, on your publications?
You know, I started the whiskey. oddly enough. Going out there, getting work out, I had my places obviously that I really dug as a writer. And I had that kind of, I wanted to give people a home that I had been fortunate enough to get at these different publications where they could always count on having work out. And if we do this with the whiskey, if you submit, say you submit four pieces, well, that'll be 4 months for you. We only do one. You only appear once in the whiskey a month. And that's just for me. That also in the beginning helped because obviously I didn't have a lot of work and it really wasn't going to be a daily. It was all kind of by mistake. I always kind of had the idea. I just didn't know if I could do it. And oddly enough, funny story, once I know I got them, after getting a rejection letter that was not the kindest, I was like, I want to run and do things a little bit differently. I really want to try this. And so I did, and then started the Rye Whiskey Review. And then being, I do write humorous, as we know. And humor is to me is a very hard genre and very hard thing to do. It's not everybody can do it.
Nope.
It's not everybody.
I know I
And
can't.
I thought, well, I'd have to, knowing you'd have to disagree. I guarantee you could, but
I can't in the writing anyway.
but no, I saw a need for. I just really thought it'd be cool to have a niche type place for humor, just all dedicated to humor. And it's a lot of things. It can be called the Lampoon of Poetry, or even the Mad Magazine. But I just wanted a place that was fun, puts that out there. It's never meant to be anything but good energy, and started that. And then, of course, sometimes to speed up work with the whiskey, not everybody wants to wait. To have like, 3 months of, three submissions come out 3 months. So I started Drinkers Only, and then that way people can say, I just love the title. I can't help it, I'm that way about titles, and started that up so I could also push writers I really believe in, because there's just so many out there. And so yeah, that's the whole story behind my publications. It was all kind of, I thought I could do this, and I think I still can. That's the best thing.
Well,
So, yeah.
we all have different experiences on why we started these things in the first place. I know mine became an outgrowth of being behind the scenes as an associate editor and assistant editor for about five years, and then I'm like, no, this is enough. I didn't like the experiences, even though they were worthy in terms of learning things about how to be an editor. I didn't like the experiences when I continued to see people get rejected for no good reason. We got too much stuff, so let's reject them. Let's give them a form letter. I mean, I started actually writing people when the editor got upset. What are you doing that for? I go, well, it's my time, so what the hell do you care? I think it's right to do that. I think if you're going to be a jerk enough to reject somebody just because you feel you got too much material, then maybe we should say something like that. Hey, this is good work. They ran out of room. But then I don't know why you don't save it for the next issue then. So you never get straight answers. So that's what formed a lot of my policy for Aerial Chart, was to make sure that I was doing things that I thought I should have been doing before as an editor that I couldn't do because it's not my publication. You only can do so much, And then like all this, ruling opponents good or bad by committee. I mean, voting is good for a republic, folks, but it's not good for writing. It's just doesn't really do a lot. I mean, I know they even have some like contests and they have some things out there where people vote, but how the hell is any of that valid? I mean, because in the end, if you're really good marketing and tell everybody you write work, you might get a whole bunch of votes for your poem. But does that really mean your poem was better than the other ones? It just means that you might have been a better marketer. Doesn't mean you were a better writer. So all that voting crap doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I didn't like that either. I thought that was fundamentally unfair. If an editor wants to push your work inside the organization that you have, and as long as I don't find that it's something really crazy and out there, I'll let them do that because that's fine. That's what you need. You need to have an advocate in there, just like I read somewhere for that right. But I'm not going to do some committee or some voting thing. So lots of people will start magazines because they don't like the way writers have been treated. They don't like the way they've been treated themselves, and they want to have something that makes some more sense, that seems like it's picking up more stuff instead of rejecting more stuff and giving people more of a chance. How about with you? What do you feel you it brought you to start doing it?
I had seen, as you said, there's some things that I personally, and this is nothing against any other magazine, but our journal is the way things were run, where it was voted on. You know, certain people may have liked it, but maybe they didn't have enough space. I didn't like the way it wasn't kind of a hands-on thing, you know. And the more you get into this, you realize it's becoming, maybe it's even a thing in the past. It's mainly form letters for rejections. And I don't like that. I think if you're going to be an editor, at least in the way I did it, and I, like I said, I'm just, it's all kind of on the job training here, is, I wanted to have the hands-on experience and really promote. And, I saw a lot of good writers out there that maybe didn't get the chance with this place or that place, but I wanted to give them the chance. And that's, you know, as I said, why I start the whiskey. And then we started just running a few days a week. Then eventually we became a daily, because we eventually had such a big influx of submissions that it was evident that we clearly could do that. And that's what I enjoy. So, you know, that was the thing, to give, to me, more avenues is better for the writer. And there's so many writers that deserve to have that push that maybe they don't, you know, maybe there's a stigma or whatever. I don't know what the politics are, because I'm not a politician. So, you know, that's the thing. I just want to start something that ran a little bit different. And I think I accomplished that. I hope I did.
Yes, you definitely did. And that's, I find it's a common thread amongst many editors. They start their own publications for that main reason, that they just wanted to add something out there that maybe reflected their own experiences and values, and also became more of a positive thing than just another publication that's just shooting out soulless letters and not telling anybody anything. I don't know what that's supposed to do. As far as I'm concerned, we already have too many of those out there. So I'm glad that yours exists and mine exists. Many people, though, and I've noticed this over the course of time, especially if they're newer writers, they don't really realize that to have contact with an editor or to get feedback is actually not the normal practice. It's actually the exception. It's not the rule. So I've learned over time to try to remind people, without having to try to play a hero or toot my own horn, I'm like, listen, this is not the normal experience. So please don't get used to it when you're going out there to other places, because you're not going to get the same thing at all. And if you don't believe me, try about 10 or 15 places after me and you'll see. It's not normal at all to have a lot of contact. I wish it was, but it's not. You know, even when your poem impresses them, sometimes you still get a form letter. You get the positive form letter. We accept you, and it'll be out in fall of this year, and blah, blah, blah. Thanks. But you don't know what that means. You don't really know what that means. You don't even know if they really read it or not. They're just like, throw it in there. We got to finish this issue. You just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and so sometimes being accepted by a publication is almost as bad as being rejected, you know. In my corner of the universe with Aerial Chart, that sort of stuff, it doesn't ever happen. We don't allow that. People know. We communicate to them. Sometimes they over communicate to us. It happens, and you got to tell people, listen, you can't send me 49 emails on a 9-line poem, okay? Please, you gotta have some perspective over here. I'm busy with a lot of other things and all the other writers and even my own stuff, plus I have a family, so. You know, sometimes folks get carried away, but I'd rather have that than be like the rest of those folks and just don't care, or be robotic, or, you know, don't have any direction at all, you know, because that's what an editor is supposed to be. You're supposed to be talking to these people. You're supposed to be guiding them, and you're supposed to be able to try to pick out something that's going to reflect the cool, form or theme or notion that you put together so that you feel proud about having a community of artists out there doing things. And so many of them, they just like the title and they don't like the job.
That is yeah, blazingly clear sometimes that, yeah, it's it is a job, and that's another thing of when you do have that kind of though open line of communication with the writer, sometimes it's a good thing. But yeah, some people can kind of forget that you're not just publishing them. You're going through a lot of people. You don't have a tremendous amount of time to go over, you know, like a 50-mile email, a long email over, you know, what you think about this, this, and that. I mean, you try to give the opinions, you try to be there, but sometimes you do get busy. That's another thing, you know.
This is not to criticize any of those writers out there, folks. So when you listen, so just don't take it that way. But as an editor, you know, we understand that it's a two-edged blade, that when we allow this kind of access and we allow this kind of communication and we're providing this communication, we're still hoping that the writer is going to exercise some sort of caution and some kind of common sense to not go overboard. And it happens sometimes, and you have to let them know. Sometimes they take it well, and other times they get mad. I told a guy the other day from England, I said, listen, this is a really good poem, but your title, like, is absolutely horrible. It's beyond cliche. I'm not even sure what the connection is. That's how bad it is. I go, you got to come up with something better, because there's no way I can publish this kind of poem this way. If I don't even understand it, what's everybody else going to understand? And I read poems all day long. You know, the guy never got back to me. Never got back to me. That was like a month and a half ago. Still never got back to me. So you have to wonder about what are people thinking? Did I just tell you some horrible thing? Is that so bad? I mean, I'm telling the guy literally, just like I tell anybody that has this situation. It's not a rejection. I'm returning it to you. It's a return. Fix this damn title so we can move forward. Okay? Please don't give me another poem that's called Nature or Night. Oh, my favorite one, Love. Are you nuts? How many poems do you think we get like this? You think you're the only person on earth that thought about a poem should be called Love?
Yeah, that's titles are everything. That's a key. When you put them out there, you put them out there.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I was stepping over you. Go ahead, Paul.
We're probably the only publication that has three categories. We have acceptance, rejection, and return. I literally have a return category. I make it clear to the people so they don't feel too horrible. Listen, I think everything is good on this except for this title. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You got to come up with something else. More times than not, people come up with some really great titles, and then you say, what the hell did they come up with that in the first place? This is awesome. And I get a lot of awesome titles back. Sometimes it's because it's an afterthought, or sometimes they just ran out of steam and they want to give it enough and they just wanted to send it out there. And I'm luckily I'm a publication that allows that, and I'll try to work with that, you know. But just keep that in mind, folks, because plenty of people, they do not give you the communication. And to all you bad title writers, okay, listen, imagine spending your time doing this great poem. You screw yourself up by giving a bad title, and then you go send it to a publication that's not me, that's somebody else. They don't even communicate with you, and they reject you. For all you know, you could be rejected because the guy's like, wow, that's a really good poem, but that title sucks. And they're not willing to go the extra mile. They're like, go ahead, have a good day, bye. And you won't even know why. You keep sending out the same horrible title, getting rejected like 68 times. So I think we provide a service when we do that, but you might want to try to keep that in mind. You know, if it's a one-word title, it better be an extraordinary word. Otherwise, there's a good chance that we've all seen it 29 times already, and we don't want to see it again.
Yeah, that's the absolute truth. And, you know, that's another thing that, I mean, I don't know, just as we are talking about editing, this is a really cool subject. I don't know if you have this problem, but when obviously, as I said, running a humorous a publication journal, under the bleachers. You know, that's another thing that sometimes will not, I'm not going to say annoy me because I always have time for people, but when you know this is a humorous zine, magazine, journal, I would think that maybe you need to read the publication or look at the guidelines, because we had it kind of clear. And I don't know if you ever have that issue. Sometimes they'll send something that just completely does not, it goes against all your guidelines, and it's just, it's kind of weird sometimes, because I get a lot of serious rights that have no, as long as it has some humor, it can be considered. But this is a humorous publication. I can't, you know, I'm not going to take, as you said, I'm not going to take one with the title Love, or I might if you go really crazy, because who knows. But, yeah, I don't know if you have that problem, but I know I do have that problem.
We get it more than we'd like, and I don't understand why, because I put extensive guidelines out there, not to make people's lives hard. It's just that I think that the more I can tell a writer about what I prefer in the publication, the more that should increase their chances of getting accepted. So, and if anything, that should be a good set of directions that helps the writer, as well as, you know, helping us too, not just helping just the editor. And we got too many directions like that, and I don't like that. So I made it very broad, but I still get people that do this, and I'm like, obviously, either you're not reading the directions, which of course I find lazy, or you just wanted to shine them on, which of course then I feel disrespectful. And those are sometimes the only times I'll literally just have to return something and say, listen, why is there not a bio with this thing? Well, what's a bio so important for? Well, this is why it's so important. Because Mark Anthony Rossi, who is the editor of this publication, has said that it's important. He doesn't want to have multiple communications with you when, if he feels a poem is good, all he has to do, or another editor has to do, is say, this is great, and we're going to accept this. This is when it's coming out. Thank you very much. Don't send it anywhere else. And have a good day. And then we can now start crafting out into the set. We can start putting it together, start stripping the format, and start getting an image with it, start putting it at the bottom, you know, the bio on the bottom and all that, rather than I'm accepting something, but I'm still not even done yet. And now I got to wait, I don't know, a day or 2 weeks or whatever it takes for someone to send me a bio on their own, whatever timetable. And I got all these files over here, and God forbid it can get lost, or it gives us extra work that we shouldn't have. It should be standard that a person sends their work with a bio. That should be a standard rule. You don't even have, unless the guideline literally says, and some do, don't send the bio. We only take the bio once we accept you. And they don't mind the extra work. That's fine. Then you have to listen to that. But you're going to find more places than not, either they don't have a position on that, or they say, can you just send us the bio with it? So more times than not, it's something that you should be doing. It's a standard professional practice, and you cannot believe how many times, you know, people do that. And then sometimes people just don't read the guidelines because they think, well, Mark published me last year, so you know, he knows who I am, and he's going to publish me this year. And I'm like, really? You obeyed the rules last year. They're the same rules as last year, but now in this new year, you can just do whatever you want. And of course, I'm saving your bio, you know, on the side over here, because I can't wait for you next year to send something to me again. I mean, come on, folks. Let's be serious here.
Yeah, it is key to follow those guidelines. It makes the whole thing go easier, because we have, I mean, I know you definitely do. Aerial Chart has a lot of business, and I mean, running three, there's a lot of traffic, and when you slow things up, you know, then you're slowing the whole works up. And on a little funny side note, I mean, one time I got, and again, it's not naming names or anything like that, but I got from a writer really good. The work was good. And, I said, hey, you know, can you send me a bio? Because I didn't have a bio. And then again, I probably am terrible for, you know, not being more stern, I guess. But it was funny. The reply was, I had to wait two days. And then they're probably, well, what do you want in the bio? That one will always crack me up. what I want in the bio? What should it be? You know, I feel that if you have a lot of publications you should know how to, I can write my bio pretty much in my sleep. You know, I think it's second nature to you, you know?
It's not terribly complicated, you know, and the only thing about that subject before we move on is it irritates the hell out of me. So I actually put it in the guidelines. I remind people, mm-hmm. and I already told somebody this in the sternest way possible. When mm-hmm. when we publish you and you go out in the world for like the next 10 or 12 months or whatever before you come back to us again, and you haven't put us mm-hmm. as a credit in your bio, well, guess what, folks? That pisses me off, because that means that I got all this time out there that I could have been having my my magazine advertised, and you've deprived me of that for whatever reason, and you're giving me the same bio from last year and doesn't even have my credit on there. So, yeah, I'm going to rush to publish you, because I really like that kind of disrespect. You have to realize that you got to give people respect for what they've done. It has to be on there, okay? I'm mm-hmm. not suggesting if you have 50 credits that all 50 of them need to be on your bio at all times. What you need to do is rotate things, have the most common 5 mm-hmm. or 7 or 10 on it, and update it on a regular basis so people know what you've done recently. And if you come across one of those editors, they're going to say, yeah, that's right, I published that guy, cool. But you don't even mention us. I mean, it just tells me that it's just another thing for you. You don't really care. And then when you don't really care, I have no reason to care either. And on a bad month, I get 100 pieces of work. On a good month, I'm over 300. And I'm not like these other editors that charge. I charge nothing. And I'm not going to complain about how much I get. But I am going to say that I would like to reject less. But when people are disrespectful and they're not going to listen, they're going to do whatever they want. They're going to send me, one sent me into a font I didn't even recognize. I mean, I could barely read it. I had to just do all kinds of, I mean, I'm like, what is this? Is this a Greek robotic on Jupiter font? I mean, I can't even figure it out. You know, mm-hmm. Well, it's just my style. Okay, cool. But my style is, I need to read your work to understand if I want to accept it or not. That's my style, okay? And mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. I'm not gonna convert it over back to your style in the magazine. It's gonna stay the style that I feel people can read and make sense to me. But the biggest things that we face, because you know, a lot of writers, they think, and sometimes they think in stereotypic terms, which is kind of funny. He must not like my work, or he must not get what I'm doing, mm-hmm. folks. Sometimes it's just really about respect. You can't come to people mm-hmm. who are working their butt off, trying to get work out for everyone, including yourself, and you're going to be disrespectful. So when you're not observing the guidelines and you're just sending us things willy-nilly, that's not respectful. Mm-hmm. That's not really helping us to do anything more for you. You know, it just burdens us with extra things that we shouldn't have to do. I, because of how I strongly believe, I do not believe that people should be rejected without an explanation, regardless. So now you're forcing me to type, yeah, you should have read the guidelines, so I don't really have any use for this. Why don't you come back over here when you have a little bit more respect, have a good day. I got to write that. I don't like to write that. I mean, but I have to, because my own philosophy is I'm not going to just simply toss it in the garbage and he never knows why. He needs to know why. You're being a disrespectful jerk. You're not welcome here. It's just that simple. It's not hard to do. To obey some of these things. That's what we put them out there for, to help you and to help ourselves. It's not terribly difficult. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, because they'll say things behind the scenes like, Mark, maybe I have a few things I don't agree with on some of these guidelines, or maybe even some of yours. And I'm like, I'm fine with that. But then you as an adult have to make a decision. I do it all the time. I look at some guidelines, and I go, I am not doing all that crap. I got to reformat my thing. Yeah. I got to add, you know, Scooby-Doo and I Love You onto the file name and this and that and whatever. No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm just, guess what? I'm bypassing you. I'm going to somebody else. I'll do that on a regular basis. There may be markets I wouldn't mind being in, but I am not going to play dog and pony. Okay. I'm not going to go around being some dancing clown just so I can get your attention. I'm not going to violate your rules because I think that's wrong. But I think your rules are stupid, and I'm going to go to somebody else. So if you need to do that to me, I'm okay with that. But don't disrespect me.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't. I know I've seen some publications, and that have really weird guidelines. And that's my thing. I, instead of, you know, huffing and fussing, I just kind of move on and choose not to do that because I know I don't have a lot of drama. I mean, I run, you know, I'm running three mags, one email, you know, and just, that's it. You know, it's not, it pretty much people know in the way I deal, the way I deal, I'm very laid back, as you know.
Oh, I
so
hear you. I have a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. And we have so many good writers and there's so much wonderful things to say. It makes it so worthwhile on the people that take the time to observe the rules and take the time to try to put their best work forward. So I'm always excited about that. And it's always a new month and brings you new things and you meet new people. So that's what makes it all worthwhile. You know, so I don't want to just dwell on some of the negative stuff, but they, you know, they stick in your mind because you're like, God, folks, I don't know, you and I have talked about this and we probably even mentioned it a few times on some other shows, but it still bears to be heard again. Just try to keep this in mind, folks, in a practical way. Every time we're spending time with your work, we're not spending time with our work. Remember, we're writers too. We're not just editors doing all this all day long and not having our own things. So just try to keep that in mind in the basic, respectful way. I know people are going to make mistakes. I've done plenty of times where I've accepted someone's work and they probably like bounced off about three of my rules. But I could tell from the questions and what they were trying to do that they wasn't intentionally doing that. And I let it go. I just try to explain myself away and went on ahead with it. But just don't forget that, folks. We are making a sacrifice of our own work when we're helping you with your work. And if we're giving back to the community, it doesn't mean that you need to be smacking us in the face like we're the enemy. If anything, we're more of your friend than most of the editors that are going to be out there that you meet. And I believe that's the case. I really do.
Yeah. The approach that we take is a little bit different, but there's that said, there's some really great editors out there. And people I deal with who are really hands on. It's just like and see, I'm the worst for saying names, but Piker Press runs really great. I love how they operate.
I'm always impressed with those folks. That they're great. They really are.
Yes, and I believe his name's Blarsky. It's always been kind to me. Really work hard, do a great job, and publish some really good writers. And that always, you know, there are plenty of really.
There are. I've had
really
some great experiences with Mad Swirl. That fellow is just really a wonderful guy. Very, very positive and just an excellent editor. And Gravel out of Arkansas, another wonderful publication. One of the few academic ones that actually makes some sense. The guy's actually trying to do something rather than just, you know, taking anybody with a stick up their butt and have a master's degree. That's the only people I'm going to publish. This is a guy that goes out there and tries to find things and real, real impressive. Yeah. And I wish more academic publications were like that.
Yeah. Another one that I really, I like, Joe Milford, who, produces a Rasputin. Once is a poetry, which Rasputin, a poetry thread.
Oh yeah. I remember that one. I think I got published in that a couple of years ago, and he was pretty cool. But I always said to myself, oh my God, he's calling it Rasputin. What am I going to expect over here? This is some rough stuff. But he was pretty cool. But that's a hell of a good name.
And you know, and to speak on Joe's, because I've published some of his work, who is a really great guy and editor. You know, he is a really good hands-on editor. I did get published there. The first time I sent work there, I didn't. It was a pass, but he was really kind and wrote to me, and I thought, you know, it was really encouraging. And that was the thing. It wasn't just like, out of here. And it really encouraged me to submit more. And I did, and because it didn't fit what he did. I looked at it again and then tried to send some more stuff that did, and luckily it got published. And that was, you know, that was another thing I was really proud of, because I really admired some of the people he's put out there. It's another great, great place to send work, you know.
Yeah, see, folks, so we do appreciate other editors too. But I always, I always speak when I do these shows more from the viewpoint and the feelings of a writer than as an editor, because I don't ever want to be in the point where one or the other are being confused. And anyone who knows me knows that I am so politically incorrect. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to be political to make somebody feel better because they're an editor. If I had a different experience, not necessarily with them, but just with magazines and editors in general, because I relate more to the writer than I do to the editor, mainly because I've only been a chief editor for 3 years, and then if you combine that with the other editing jobs I have, you're talking about 8 years versus, you know, I'm on my 37th year of writing. So it's more in me to be a writer, and more in me to have the sympathy and the understanding of what the writer goes through rather than what the editor goes through, which is a good point of the show to talk a little bit about that so you guys hear about that. And I think it's an important thing to hear. Don't get me wrong, because they're all out there. You know, having to put together a publication that can have its challenges. But I say more than not, and I think other editors, if they were ever come on the show, I think they would agree that more than not, an editor can make their life harder if they're out there just robocalling it and phoning it in and just grabbing whatever they want and not taking it seriously. They make their life harder, and they make it harder for other editors, because unfortunately there are more editors out there, you know, that do that than the ones that you can remember that they'll do people justice and that are trying to do some real literature. There's not as many as I'd like to see. I'm glad we've added a couple by having you and I in there. Biased as that might sound, too bad, folks. I still believe it. That I'm better than a lot of them out there, and John the same way. Because we wouldn't be out here doing these shows, you know, if we thought we were failing all over the place. We're not. We're succeeding on every level. We publish more than a lot of these magazines do. We're more diverse. You know, I hear all this diversity stuff all day long. And then you talk to these magazines and you find out they don't have a single diverse person on their staff. But they're gonna preach diversity all day long. Sometimes they don't even publish diverse people, but they'll keep talking about that. Well, we don't just talk about it. We actually do it. Black people, Hispanic people, gay people, all kinds of different people in every walk of life, because that's what's necessary to be an artist, to reflect upon all that and make sure that sort of stuff is out there. I mean, we still got our standards. Don't get me wrong. It's going to take anybody just to fill a category. But when it's there, it's going to get done. And if it's done right, it's going to be put out there, because it should be out there, because so many people ignore other folks in our society, and that's not right. We should, as artists, to make sure that we're not ignoring anybody and not being a word because someone comes from this viewpoint or that viewpoint. As long as they're not being hateful, you know, and as long as they're not being just a bad writer, you know. And that's another thing. That's another thing. The strange stereotype is that people get rejected because they're bad in the writing, and sometimes you don't. So I don't get a lot of bad writing. I can't believe how little bad writing I get. I just get writing that either is not going to obey the rules. I'm saying try not to give me anything over 60 lines, you know, and I'm getting 150 lines. I don't mind going a couple lines over it. I'll go with that. You got some superb poem that's 61 lines? I'm going to give you an exception. But 150 lines, I know you're just messing with me, and that's not going to fly, you know? Or you get people that send stuff that actually is hateful or bigoted. Or just really out there or something, you know, like that woman that had a sexual fetish with her nephew. I'm not doing that, you know, not going there. I had another woman that both by email and in her poem tried to convince me that it was a woman's right to put together something in a poem that alluded to the fact that it was okay for her to get beat up by her boyfriend because she pretty much warranted from her actions. And I'm like, listen, I can't tell you how to live because that's not my business. But as an editor, I can't get behind this. First of all, I don't believe in that kind of nonsense. And second of all, after my wife beats me up, okay, and my mother-in-law and all the other women in my household and family for saying, are you nuts, Mark? And I mean, I'll be on the couch for like the next 79 years. So on many levels, something like that wouldn't be acceptable. I don't know where that even comes from. I literally talked to this woman. I said, is this like a joke or a gag? are you just trying to mess with me or something? Because I can't find anything useful in this. And like, no, that's how I feel. I'm like, well, I got to reject you. Sometimes you have to reject on content because you can't have your publication behind that. So I've had to reject stuff about animal abuse, about hate stuff. I've actually gotten some racist stuff, believe it or not. That weird sexual thing. This woman saying it's part of her her choice as a woman to get smacked. No. You know, I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna give you your choice to get rejected, but I'm not into you getting smacked. There's really nothing you can say or do that's supposed to warrant that kind of treatment. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying I'm a saint or the perfect man or the gentleman all the time. I mean, I'm an Italian guy from Jersey, so take it as you want it. But that sort of stuff, that's never gonna fly with me. In any aspect of the world. Nobody should have their daughter smacked around by some guy, even if she asks for it.
No.
This is crazy. So you're going to get people that do that now and then. But for the most part, I get stuff from around the world. I mean, we're at 58 countries right now in an aerial chart. So it's all tracked, so you can actually see that when, as an editor. I'm like, wow, how awesome is that? Getting something from that place or that place.
But you get
incredible things from really, really people that want to. They want to impress out there. They're trying to communicate. They're trying to get their story across, and they're so happy that, you know, the electronic means can deliver something like that, and something can be put out there in a relatively short period of time, and they can have some contact. So there's a real big merit for having an online journal. It lets us do so much more than a print. And I'm not making fun of print, but it doesn't have the same kind of flexibilities that an online journal can have. And so it makes it exciting to be out there to help people, and it makes it exciting to see other people's work. You know, I think that reading makes you a better writer. So reading everybody else's works maybe in some ways makes me a better writer. I think about things that I wouldn't have thought about otherwise. So in a way, doing it is just not a community service. Sometimes you're just learning now from other people, and that's what we should be doing. As much as we're teaching, we should be learning as well.
Yeah, definitely. When it comes to all that, you're completely right on that. And that's another thing about what we publish. It does reflect, you know, sometimes it reflects what you want your journal viewed as. You know, I definitely kind of get out there and do some different things. But, you know, I there's when it comes to. It is surprising how much good work you get. You know, it's just like you said, some people not following guidelines that's frustrating. And, but you know, there's for the most part, I don't have really that issue that, you know, cause I also go out and kind of look for writers as well, you know, because I had been a lot of places, and I had the people I enjoyed reading, so I kind of approached them first, and this is a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not a bad idea at all. I mean, and I'm always surprised about how people are like, no one's ever really approached me before. I kind of feel weird about this. I have some people actually reject me. I feel weird about this, so I can't do it.
They do.
I'm like, okay, I'm still here, and I still like what you're doing. So if you change your mind one day, I tell them that, then, you know, let me know. But if you're going to block me, well, I guess I'm not going to be getting anything from you. Oh, well. But if you really think about it, and I could be off on this, and that's fine, but it's been my opinion for the longest now, it's that the reason why we get so much good work is because so much good work is being written and it's being rejected by a lot of these stupid publications that don't read it and they don't care. They only have a certain slice of what they want. And that's why we get so much of this stuff, because I keep thinking to myself, shouldn't I get a small handful of good stuff and a lot of junk? And I don't. I don't get a lot of junk. But I'm getting stuff from people that they're just not getting published in other places as they should. They're getting rejected for the wrong reasons. We don't have enough room. You're not this person. You don't go to Starbucks enough. You're not this individual, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's why we get so much, because there really is so much out there. And it's so wrong for people to feel so bad about their work when it actually is so good.
Mm-hmm. That you know, that's true. And but then again, it's good that we do what we do. And these other people we mentioned, one I didn't mention is my who as the whiskey kind of grew, my co-editor Scott Simmons, who runs the Dope Fiend Daily, once publishes a lot of writers, and you know, that's another place that's myself included, that's he's doing a good job, but he's also, you know, working under me, so it's we kind of have the same kind of, as friends, we kind of know the way we like things run. And so there's a lot of places now that are changing and kind of, you know, going along with that formula. I think that's one good thing, is people see how things can be done different and are inspired to start their own,
And I'm
you
hoping
know.
some of this talk might help some people because, yes, folks, it is a lot of work, and it does take a little bit from your own work, and you're gonna sometimes get some unnecessary drama from people who are not respectful or just think it's funny to be a goofball. But when you put all that stuff aside, you're still gonna be contacting and dealing and helping with people that are worthy to be out there, that should be published, and you're doing the important job by doing that. So, I mean, if anyone ever wants any help or pointers, I'd be happy to do so. It doesn't bother me one bit as long as you're serious about doing it. Because, you know, when I say, and I said before in John's interview, that writing is work, but it's not a job, it's art. Well, guess what? It's the difference with being an editor. Editor's work, and it is a job. There's no real art to it. It's very mechanical. You have to, I mean, you have to use some artistic senses to determine what's a good poem or not, but for the most part, it's just work and a job. You got to get it out there. You got to get it on time. You got to try to be right about it. You got to deal with just like a job. You got to deal with people that get along with you. You got to deal with people that, you know, they just live life trying to upset people all day, you know. And then, of course, you're going to have all kinds of technical failures. Your computer could break. You might burn out your whole server. The platform you use could be down for maintenance. I mean, 100 things can happen that have nothing to do with you, but you still got to deal with it. So, you know, it could be a small pain in the neck at times, but it's an incredible worthy thing if someone wants to do it, because they become automatically another voice. Can you hear me okay? Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, I lost you. It's the first time that's ever happened.
I know. I'm sorry. I just it was going fine, and then it just cut out. I apologize, but
Yeah, no problem.
you
'Cause
do
it's
not.
hard to know when it cut out, so I don't even know what I missed or what I didn't miss. But and I'll just have to splice this together after I edit it again. I never had to do that for a guest house show, but hey, there's gonna be that time. What are you gonna do? At least I have the practice on doing it. But what I was just mentioning is that I'd be happy to help anyone else that was interested in doing it, as long as they're committed on doing it, because it is not just work, but it is a bit of a job. It can be a bit of a pain in the neck, but it has an enormous reward, and you're doing something really important for the community of artists out there, if they can have another place that tries to see a little bit more of their side of things and tries to help people get their word out there. So I'm always happy to do that, as long as you're committed to it, and you know you understand that what it takes. It takes a little bit more of your time, and it takes sometimes a little bit of your own, you know, time from writing. So it is a bit of a sacrifice and a bit of a job. But you know, who says you just can't do it in a small project? You don't have to be big, and kind of go from there. But I don't have a lot of takers. I don't know about you. I don't get anybody getting me questions about, hey, Mark, I really like to start my own journal. I haven't got one of those in 3 years.
No, I've only had from like because I, you know, some, a lot of these people I was who I published, I was more on a, you know, we were kind of friends level. And so it, you know, I've had a few people, but most people in general don't ask. But I have had a few people ask, is like, yeah, I'd really like to run. And the thing is, and I don't mean anything against them, I feel that they think they want to. Like I tell them, I said it, because it is, like you said, it is work. It's very mechanical, and it can also wear you out very fast if you know.
I have a monthly, so I
It,
hear that.
Yeah, so it's, and I know with me running the, because Under the Bleachers runs over the weekend, the Whiskey runs every single day, no days off. The only day we take off is Christmas. And, yeah, and of course with Drinkers Only is, you know, sporadic because we don't have a lot of submissions, but we're still putting work out there. So that's the thing. But I do get people asking me, and once I was having really fun with that episode, so that's a shame it cut out. I wish it hadn't, but we just can't plan those things, you know?
Well, I did want to mention, because I don't want to forget that as much as it's my publication and a lot of work I put into it, I do have help. So I want to mention I have two contributing editors that help me. One is Jana Begovic, and she is a Serbian that lives in Canada and does some translation as well. So she's a super help on bringing a lot of international folks in, and she's a very good writer in her own right. And I know she's working on a novel. And then, of course, I got Megha Sood, and she's out from New Jersey. I believe that she's an Indian American, but she lives in New Jersey, and she's also a big help as well. So don't want to forget those folks because they're a big part of what I do. I can't do this all by myself, so it's good to have people that volunteer and want to do that. It's a good way for them to learn about how things would work. Of course, I don't know what's going to happen to them in the future because I can tell you one thing. If they want to go to another publication, it's completely different than anything I do because I allow enormous amount of leeway and license, and what they decide on is what I keep because they understand the guidelines and I understand their own tastes. And so I've never had to overrun or overject anybody that did anything based on when they submitted to those editors. So it's great to see that. And thank you, girls, for so much help and sticking with me.
Yeah, that's the thing that we do this, and you got it, when you do have help, you have to give it where, you know, give the credit, because it's so much work that, yeah. Of course, as I mentioned, my co-editor guy's always behind the scenes with me, Scott Simmons. So he's a tremendous help to everything I do.
Yes, and I'm glad that you mentioned him as well, because yeah, sometimes those folks behind the scenes, but most folks might not know about, and I never want to give the impression that we're out here doing all this work all by ourselves. I mean, we have some people that help us,
No.
and don't get me wrong,
Yeah.
even though we have help, it's not to make light of that. You know, it's a serious project, and it is require work from everyone, you know, together as a team, but yes, it's very, very hard to do by yourself. I don't know anybody that's doing it by themselves. And if they do, God bless
Yeah.
them. But it's not easy with a team, let alone by yourself.
That that is the crazy thing, and that's where I got the nickname from Ryan Quinn Flanagan, the mad editor. I started all of them by myself and ran them for a long amount of time, and then it just got too much. I had to have help, and then I was lucky that Scott was already running one. He understood how they work. He understood the mechanics of it, and he is, and he's completely different. Like, you have to give him the rein to do things. If he works or takes over, then he does everything his way, and you have to trust his opinion, because he knows, he has a clear idea of what things, a clear vision of the way things should go, and that's what I like. And he publishes a lot of people himself, and he really works hard. So, and he's a really young kid, but he just seems to get it as far as that goes. And but he also loves words as well, and loves to read. So he kind of knows the style that I like, and he likes some different stuff, but he does a really good job behind the scenes, just excellent job.
I'm glad we mentioned those, because I don't want to have a show go by where they're like, "What? No one talked about me?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm definitely gonna mention you, because
Oh yeah.
I'm excited to have them. I hope maybe we can get one more, but believe it or not, it's not easy to get someone to do this on a volunteer basis because it is work and it can be a little tedious, and sometimes it can even be having some drama involved in it because the way folks react or way you're going to come across all kinds of people. Not all of them are ready for prime time. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So you always have to remind somebody when they're volunteering to do this that, you know, it's not always going to be a, you know, garden of roses. Sometimes you're going to get a couple weeds now and then, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because, yeah, that's the truth. And, you know, it's just so much work. But I just enjoy it personally. I enjoy running the run the show, so to speak. I just enjoy it, and I enjoy finding. And my favorite thing is finding people that have never been put anywhere, and you know, first time publication, because that they really it really sticks with them. That you know, because you always remember that. I know I do.
Yep.
So I just think it's really cool. You know, that's the coolest thing, because they really appreciate you, especially to give them a good experience too, not just a no. But come on in, you know, I think what you're doing is really good. And it's great, because they appreciate it. And you're becoming part of their history, so to speak, because they're always going to remember that.
Yeah,
and
they always do.
Rewarding.
First time I was published, 1984. I know, it makes me feel old, but that's the truth. And you don't forget that. And one of the most beautiful things about writing, and all writers will tell you this, is that when you remember that day, you also remember that you just don't feel any different every time you accept it. Every time you have something out there, especially when somebody says something special on top of that, that it's that same it's the same elation, that same joy, that same exuberance about, you know, I'm accepted, my word is out there. It's something I just created 2 weeks ago and trying to do something better with it is now being part of the artistic community. It's a very special feeling, and it's what we all work for on a regular basis, because you know, in between all that is you know, all the silly rejections, or you know, the useless comments. But when you get those, you feel just like that woman giving birth after 9 months. You feel all that stuff was worth it.
Yeah. I mean, it is a reward, and you know, it's never changed for me. I'm always thrilled, especially when, I mean, to see my work come out anywhere, but when I'll see a new place or a place I never thought I'd be accepted. Once it's happened a lot, you know, really, really big, blessing. San Pedro River Review is one that I thought was really awesome. They were really cool to be, published in recently. And just got my copy, as a matter of fact. And of course, that's print. And that was just really, really, and really a great lineup of writers in there. Just tremendous. And that was, it's just, it never gets old. That's the truth. So I understand when people get accepted, and you know, if they've never been in your journal, it's such a big thing that you have to realize that it's, you know, it's another day at the office for us, but you know, we know it's not, but I mean, it's really great for them. And that's what's so cool. That's what makes it worthwhile, is all the good that you're putting out there.
And that's the only reason why I will continue to do it. And if it ever felt all off for that, then I would reconsider it. But until then, or hopefully that never happens, you know, I'm going to continue on with it, because it does a lot of good. And it's important to contribute back to the artistic community. People should try to do that more often, and maybe in different ways. Maybe you tell somebody, you look over their poem now and then on something they wrote, because they can use a header, or they can use some input. Or maybe you help proofread somebody's book. Those are also ways to give back to the artistic community. So I'm not saying that you all need to rush and get your own radio show or go get your own journal to give back to the community. There's still plenty of things you can do to help other writers, but you should be doing something. I don't care what kind of time you think you have or how busy you are in your life. There's no reason why any month should go by that you haven't tried to help a writer even once. Even if it's just an email. Hey, this is six markets recently that I felt really good about. A couple of them picked me up, others didn't, but I still feel strong about them. Why don't you go check them out? Because you'd be surprised at how people, they might not know all the markets that are out there. They might not be catching on everything. They might just never have known. So you could be giving them a good leg up. But there's something we should always be doing to help somebody at least once a month. I mean, you can't complain about how the world is cold and you're not doing anything to warm it up.
Yeah, definitely. You're right about that. That's a, you know, can't agree more, my friend.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing over here. We're trying to have a little bit of self-sacrifice because I'm damn not sure not doing it for myself. I mean, I'm in 3 years right now, and if everybody wants to test me on this, count how many poems that Mark Anthony Rossi put in his own publication. You're going to be shocked on how few, how few you find, you know?
Exactly.
So it's not like I'm over there, you know, every issue I'm throwing three of mine in there or something. And I'm not saying there's anything inherently wrong with that. It's your publication. You do what you want. But if I'm telling you I'm doing this for the public, well, and the artist public, then the majority, the great majority has to be them. It can't be me. So and that's why I do that. Not because I'm shy or not because I don't want to see myself in the big lights. I'm like anybody else. Why not? But not in my own publication. I try not to do too much of it. I put a few things here and there. You know, I put a military poem in there I really like to do. That was I knew that would never have any chance anywhere else because, God forbid, you're a military person and a writer. They really hate you. So I'm like, let me just put it in my publication. It's probably the only where it's ever going to go, and I'm happy that way. Got some vets come on board, checked it out. They really liked it. A little private fun with that. I'm cool. You know, and a few little different ones now and then, a couple of fiction pieces. Although, quite frankly, the way it works on my journal is if I ever put a fiction piece of my own out, that means that I haven't got enough that month, and I'm just trying to fill in the gaps. That's all it means, because fiction is hard to get sometimes. Some months I got too much, some months I don't have enough. I'll try to fill in that every day off. And I always get plenty of poetry, so there's not any reason to do that too often.
Yeah.
But that's how you know. So, I mean, it's not hard because we're putting this out there, folks, to judge the words that we say on a show like this and the actions that you see out there. It's real easy to line them up because there's no reason to lie. You're going to get caught anyway. And what's the point? Because it really is about you guys. It's not about us. So try to keep that in mind. Hopefully that helps you on submitting to us. And maybe it even helps you on submitting to others to understand what you have to deal with out there and how so much of it isn't fair. And you just have to keep plugging away, you know, hoping that someone's going to see your wonderful work in a different way and in a different light. That is my last word. If you have any, John?
The thing is, what I would say, and just as a part note on, if you want to start your own journal or even dealing with editors, is especially folks like us, you know, and is, you know, just as far as a writer and editor goes, just if you're dealing with a hands-on, editor, just, you know, be mindful of guidelines and also be good to one another. Have a good rapport and, you know, have respect for one another. That's the only thing. You know, that's the main thing is you know, just have respect for one another and respect that what we're doing because we're both working together. We need the writers and they, you know, the publications are needed as well. So that's all I could say about that one.
Very, very good. Well, folks, I hope that helped you out in a big deal to learn about some of the trials and tribulations and some of the joys of being an editor and what it means to you as a writer and some of the things that we have to carry on forth, our own work and the comments and the advice that we often have to give. And, of course, just the joy of bringing so many new on board that this is their first credit and it means the world to them because – guess what? It means the world to us, too. It's always an exciting thing to be able to do that. And nobody here loves rejection, not as writers or not even as editors. But, you know, we have to be an adult and we have to have a publication that in the end we need to feel proud of. And you need to be feeling proud to be a part of it. So I thank you very much for making this show here, Strength to be Human, especially our guest house edition. Such a success. We've definitely gone beyond anything the network would have expected. But then again, they probably didn't expect too much because they don't realize that writers are passionate, that they're out there all over the world. As of yesterday, we had a 32nd country came on board the show to listen to the show. We actually have a means to tell where people come from, what they're doing and all that. So You can literally tell exactly where they're coming from and what even episode they're listening to. That's how amazing some of these statistics are. So I know that from absolute knowledge, not from some guessing. So it's exciting to see that people from around the world will write English, and that's not even their first language. They'll listen to the show, and it's their second language. One lady, it's her fourth language. So it's just amazing. So we don't have to, again, live in fear and be confined to only people from Milwaukee is going to listen to the show. No. With the internet and with podcasting and with you being authentic and putting something interesting out there, you can have the whole world, you know, start listening and getting involved. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm actually marketing it that way as well. Come on board, those people from Egypt. And come on, Jordan and Israel, too. Don't care. Want you on board. Great thing. I know some people speak English. And, you know, they have to know that lots of podcasting is not in a lot of languages yet. So, you know, maybe one day we'll compete against lots of languages. And we just have to make sure we're that good. But until then, English is still pretty much predominant. And why can you not come aboard on here and converse and tell us about your art and about your life? And we already have some international guests already that I've interviewed that you'll see in March. So I'm very excited about that. And I really thank you that you've taken this format and what we're all trying to do that much seriously, because, again, it really does help you to know that the guy over in Egypt is feeling the same way you're feeling about writing and maybe even about life. So you don't have to feel that you're alone. And in many instances, not only you're not alone, but you've got plenty of people behind you. And you'll hear them more and more in the show, and you'll see that and hear that. And I think that'll really encourage you to go forward and not feel so out of the loop, or not feel that, you know, you're supposed to be somebody else to fit in. No, you could be who you want to be with us here, and you fit in just fine. I thank you very much from the bottom of my heart, and God bless you all.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.